The latest Adam Dalgliesh mystery, Death in Holy Orders, is set at a seminary on England's rugged east coast. It's the 11th outing for Dalgliesh, and this time he finds himself investigating a suspicious death at the College of St. Anselm. Why there? Well, because P.D. James wanted to write a book set in academia. But she feels the usual British university locale has been done too many times, and she didn't want to have Dalgliesh roaming around Oxford. That's Inspector Morse's territory. And Strangechamps found the book's setting particularly appropriate. Talking with P.D. James, she pointed out that fictional detectives, including Dalgliesh, surround themselves with a kind of ritual as they solve crimes.
You're absolutely right, and that's another aspect which hadn't occurred to me. There is a kind of ritual, there is a procedure, and of course the mystery itself is a conventional form in the sense that there are certain, not rules exactly, but certainly conventions laid down. The form itself is very ordered and disciplined. We have the central mysterious death, usually the close circle of suspects, with means, motive, opportunity for the crime. The detective, either amateur or professional, coming in to solve it, the clues, and the denouement. And what I find, you know, very fascinating about this form is the extraordinary variety of books and talents which it can accommodate, so that you have books as different as you like, as Wilkie Collins' The Moonstone, a great novel, or Agatha Christie, or John le Carré, which really are so different and yet written basically with this so-called formula.
The mystery writer, American mystery writer, Rex Stout, used to have a theory that people who didn't like mysteries were anarchists. I assume he meant that people who do like mysteries appreciate order.
Well, I think that's absolutely true. Of course, one can't generalize too much, but I've met so many thousands of my readers, and I would say that they were intelligent, educated, and certainly not given to any criminality, as far as I can see. I should have thought they were a group of people least likely to be wanted by the police.
Yes, and yet how odd, then, that they would be so drawn to read over and over again stories of violent crime.
Yes, I'm not sure that the attraction is reading about violent crime, although undoubtedly there is an attraction about reading about murder, because it's a unique crime and the one for which we can never really make reparation to the victim. I think that has fascinated the human psyche from the very beginning of time. So that you don't have a detective story about who stole great-aunt Agatha's diamonds, although it might have its interest, really wouldn't pack the same emotional punch as who did great-aunt Agatha in her library. So I think that's partly it. It's not so much, I think, the blood or the violence. It is the puzzle. It's the bringing of order out of disorder. It's the solving of the mystery.
And I think death, whether violent or not, comes to us all and is a kind of hidden fact that, well, it's a fact that underlies most of our existence, try as we might to ignore it. And the detective novel provides a kind of safe structure within which to contemplate or sort of gingerly approach death.
Oh, absolutely. I'm sure you're right there. It distances its atavistic horror because it intellectualizes it. It makes it into a puzzle. It even suggests that in the end, this is something that can be solved, as everything else can be solved. I'm sure that's right. And to an extent, it disinfects violence too, and our fear of violence, which may be why women enjoy reading them and women are good at writing them. I mean, women are far more threatened by violence because we bring children into the world, whether it's personal violence or social violence or international violence. And this may be the reading or the writing of mysteries, I think, may be one way of somehow managing to come to terms with that fear.
That's interesting. I've also read, you may have written, that another reason women are often especially good at writing detective fiction is something about the women's familiarity with the domestic world and forced attention to detail and to domestic details.
Oh, yes. Yes, absolutely. I've always given that as one of the reasons why women excel. So much clue-making, really, is rooted in everyday life. And women have an eye, of course, for the details of everyday life. And we are, I think, particularly interested, too, in motive, more interested probably in motive and in the characters than we are in the actual physical violence.
One of the really distinct things about your detective, Adam Dalgliesh, is that he is a poet. And I'm thinking that, I guess at first blush, those would seem, poet and detective would seem antithetical occupations.
Yes, I mean, I must admit, people say to me, have you known a policeman who's a poet? I have to admit that I haven't. But then I don't like to stereotype people, and there's absolutely no reason why a policeman shouldn't be a poet. I think, in fact, that Dalgliesh, having lived with a man for as long as I have, is probably more likely to have been a musician. But I didn't know enough about music to make him a musician. And I did try to write poetry when I was younger, and I think I understand the poetic imagination, so I made him a poet. And as you know, in this book, and I've had the temerity, actually, to write two small pieces of verse for him.
I guess I was thinking the poet's job, one would think, would be to search for and create beauty, whereas the detective's job is to search for and uncover the worst, the ugliest aspects of human nature. But I guess what they might have in common is a search for order.
I think a search for truth, possibly. And that is the thing they would most have in common. And also, I think Dalgliesh is a compassionate man, very compassionate man, though not in the least sentimental. And his job brings him into touch with a great many human tragedies. And I think he's able somehow to come to terms with the pain by writing his poetry.
How did you come up with Dalgliesh? Were there particular inspirations that led you to create him?
No, it was really a rather conscious choice, a conscious sitting down and deciding what sort of detective I'd begin with. And I was influenced by both Dorothy L. Sayers and by Agatha Christie, who created detectives that they obviously rather regretted later. Agatha Christie just said that she was tired of Poirot. She wished she hadn't made him so eccentric, hadn't given him his little grey cells and his patent leather shoes and his wax moustaches. And Dorothy L. Sayers got over it, of course, by changing Lord Peter, so that by the time we come to Gaudy Night, he's very different from the silly young ass about town of Whose Body. Quite a subtle, clever change over many years. So I thought, look, I must start with someone that I'm happy to continue with, but nevertheless who can develop. I want to make him a professional detective because I think that's more credible. I'll attach him to Scotland Yard because that has the largest police area. If I attach him to provincial force, I shall be stuck forever with one corner of England. And I gave him the qualities that I personally very much admire. I made him highly intelligent. I think most of the ills that this world is heir to come from stupidity. I made him courageous. I made him compassionate without sentimentality. And I made him a very private person, a very reticent person, and gave him his poetry as an artistic interest. So there he was.
He has seemed at times, because he is such a solitary person, he has seemed at times melancholy.
Yes, I suppose this surprises me because I know him, and I know he isn't at all melancholy. But after all, my readers can only judge by the books. And as in the books, he's always involved in the detection of some really quite appalling crime. It doesn't give much opportunity to show his lighter side so that he possibly comes over as slightly melancholy. And of course, as I didn't really want to have to bother too much with his love life at the beginning, I callously killed off his wife and baby in childbirth. So he has some reason to be melancholy. But as you know, the time has come for him to commit himself now to another human being. And for the first time in this book, he is, I was going to say, on the brink of love. But I think he's rather fallen over the brink and is, in fact, in love.
You said you know him. How well do you feel that you know him by now? Is he a real person to you?
Oh, yes, I think he's a real person to me. Well, yes, I know him very well indeed. And I like and respect him. I'm not in love with him, but I certainly like and respect him. And I was asked by a friend the other day whether I was ever going to kill him off. Has Colin Dexter killed off Morse? I was amazed how disagreeable the idea seemed. It seemed quite appalling. It seemed like an act of vicarious suicide. So I replied that no, I certainly wouldn't kill him off. We shall both die the same moment. He will die undoubtedly in perpetual middle age, and with God's grace, I shall die an old lady.
And her millions of readers hope that P.D. James becomes a very, very old lady. Baroness James of Holland Park, Doctor Than Strange Champs. The latest Dalglish novel is called Death in Holy Orders.